Hi, everybody, and welcome to the FinOps Nexus podcast. I'm your host, John Meyer. Joining me today is Savannah Jensen. Savannah?
Hi, everybody. My name is Savannah Jensen. I am a senior FinOps success manager on the optics team here at AWS. I've been around for about, just over 6 years now. So I've seen a lot of changes within the industry during that time. I've worked in kind of the cost space the entire time. Lots of new tools. Needless to say, it looks a lot different now than it did 6 years ago, and that's a good thing.
Well, Savannah, today we're actually talking about some of those tools. We're talking about the new tools for cost and visibility and how it relates to FinOps. Let's talk about some of these new tools.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think over the last 6 months, particularly with some of the reInvent launches last year, but also some of the kind of like previews and follow-ons from that, we've seen so many really exciting developments with visibility and cost allocation and kind of the tool set that we have within AWS and what people have built on AWS. So lots to get excited about there for sure. I think kind of the biggest one is that unified visibility that everybody seems to be leaning towards. If you think about Cost Optimization Hub and the Unified Billing and Cost Management Console, those are both really exciting in terms of just like a usability standpoint. But beyond that, I think there are a lot of kind of smaller and less well-known tooling pieces that are kind of coming into their own a bit more. So I don't know if I would say the Cloud Intelligence dashboards are not very well known at this point, but I think we've added on quite a bit within even the last couple months and a lot of kind of new dashboards and new opportunities there. So if you're kind of looking into the multi-cloud space, we now have an Azure offering and a GCP data offering all within the Cloud Intelligence dashboard framework linked from the well-architected labs. You can kind of deploy it the same way that you would any of the other dashboards. And of course, our team is always adding on kind of new pieces to the existing dashboards, whether that's the KPI dashboard or the TAO dashboard, really trying to bring all of the good stuff and all the good data that you see within AWS and now within our other cloud providers into kind of that one easy configurable space that everybody I think knows and loves at this point. So that's been really exciting. In terms of other tools across the industry, John, I'll let you comment on that a little, but I know we're not the only ones thinking about that. Anything that you're particularly stoked about right now?
Well, I'm really stoked about the Cloud Intelligence dashboards, kudos, the new version 5, the updates that are happening. But you mentioned unified visibility. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really key coming from AWS and giving visibility into the other hyperscalers that are out there. Really showcases that to their customers that they're trying to provide them like a complete visibility into their cloud spend, their cloud utilization, and things in areas where they can improve the dashboards. I got it set up and you just reminded me, I still have it running.
Oh, well, we can update it too. I think Twitch was Steph and Gary were on Twitch a couple weeks ago, and we walked through basically an update to the Trusted Advisor dashboard data lake on there, which was actually super interesting because Steph had this super old version installed. So we hit a bunch of errors, which was great for helping with the troubleshooting. I will say I've done it with my customers and it was a lot less bumpy when we did it. So that old internal vintage dashboard from when they set it up was definitely good for troubleshooting though. The other thing that I've been really excited about recently in terms of cost visibility, and if you ran into me at all at reInvent, I've already probably talked to you about this, but AWS Billing Conductor, I think, has come a long way since it was introduced back a couple years ago. So what AWS Billing Conductor essentially does is it allows you as an administrator or a FinOps user to configure cost visibility boundaries within your organization and kind of control a little bit more what your end users see in terms of setting your own rates, determining savings plan coverage, and kind of how that's split. You can add in enterprise support, credits, et cetera. It was originally designed for kind of our partner space, but we've seen a lot of folks outside of the partner space get excited about it and start using it within the last year because we've had a lot of kind of enhancements come out to it. So we finally have Cost Explorer integration. And it is a way that you can essentially set up Cost Explorer like visibility boundaries for sub parts of your organization. So for subsets of your linked accounts, which is really helpful for folks who have multiple business units kind of under one payer account. So lots to kind of think about and revisit there. I think with some of our tooling, Amazon is always really excited to get things out the door as quickly as possible so that people can start using them. But don't forget to kind of go back and check back in on those things, especially if they've been around for a bit, because we do take that customer feedback and kind of continue pushing out updates and improvements as we go as well.
Savannah, talk to me a little bit more about the tooling and visibility, and how do you help customers understand all the tools, the dashboards, and the services that are out there and how to get the most out of them?
Yeah, absolutely. So how I usually start these discussions is a little bit more focused around what their business priorities are and what they're trying to see. And that the other thing that we really always try to think about in those beginning conversations is who's consuming this data. So the view that you would give an executive who's looking over 20 different lines of business and really just needs the highlights or needs some key KPIs to understand how the entire footprint is kind of running is a lot different than the view that you would give or create for an engineer who is focused on kind of exactly what they're working on only and needs to see kind of the impacts cost-wise of the changes that they've put in the last couple of weeks. So understanding who you're targeting with this stuff is a big one, and that's going to help you choose a tool. It's going to help you choose kind of a view, and it's going to help you tailor that down to be a little bit more custom to what they're looking for. So for some customers, the cloud intelligence dashboards are a really great fit for that because they can build in row level security if they want to give different subsets of the business, essentially like different lenses into the same dashboard that they've built. For some customers, Cost Explorer is a really great tool, especially if you're looking at kind of that engineering level or even kind of that senior manager level. If you've got kind of access to that AWS account in Cost Explorer, you can build out those saved reports, check in on it, look at it that way. It's really just a kind of a question about what your goals are, what you're most comfortable with, and what level of kind of hands-on people want to get. With the QuickSight dashboards and really anything built in QuickSight, you can configure it as much as you want, which is excellent if you're familiar with QuickSight or if you're excited to learn. But if you have kind of an admin group that's a little bit more spooked by that or wants to be a little bit more hands-off, sometimes paring those dashboards down pretty significantly so that they've got just a pretty simple view is great. More than ever, I think I've seen customers use the cloud intelligence dashboards as kind of like a starting point or an inspiration. This is also true for folks who use cost visibility vendors outside of AWS. I'm seeing customers essentially take a peek at what AWS has recommended within the KPI dashboard, especially is kind of a common one, but really any of that content in the dashboard suite, and then say, hey, we want to build something like this in our external vendor, our third party who has kind of an established relationship with us or has kind of customization built in. So really understanding what's out there and understanding what you're trying to do is key.
I want to dive a little bit more into the visibility and some of the tools, the Kudos dashboards that allow you to break down everything and kind of do all the filters. But that's a lot of information. I know when I installed it, I looked at the demo environment, you could see so much that is visible and you're like, oh my God, it's a little overwhelming. At what point is there just too much data that you need to kind of step back, visualize certain areas of it and see where you can do those improvements and then add a little bit more onto it and a little bit more to kind of get the most out of it?
So for FinOps practitioners, because most of the time I work with folks who are at least fairly familiar with cost data or AWS cost data coming in, if they've never looked at the cloud intelligence dashboards before, they're not familiar with it, my recommendation is always deploy it. Deploy Kudos, CID, KPI, anything else that you see kind of on the Well-Architected Labs page that you're interested in. Give it a week to essentially like run and settle until you get data in there, and then just set aside basically an afternoon to click through the tabs and take a look at everything that's in Kudos. Do a little save as to essentially get yourself like a test environment, and just start kind of highlighting things that are most exciting to you or that you feel like are a good representation of your business. And really pare that down at first. Get yourself like a very condensed version of what's available in those dashboards, and then start monitoring that week over week or day over day to see if it's getting you kind of the metrics, the KPIs, the outcomes that you're looking for. And then you can always go back and revisit and scale it back up. I think you're completely right in terms of kind of the volume of data, especially to somebody who has just deployed these for the first time. They're like, wow, there's so many things to look at. So just taking some focus time to kind of sort through that and start small, figure out, okay, maybe I just want to measure the invoice cost or the amortized cost on kind of that first page. Going to pick a couple compute metrics. Okay, my S3 bucket spend per bucket is really exciting. Let's focus on that. Start small. And if you're sharing it out, maybe only share out that pared down version to get people used to it, because then you'll can kind of start stepping up and adding those things back in and kind of paring down or scaling up on whatever's most interested to you or interesting to you. And just because everybody's cloud footprint and like service mix is going to be different to you, some of those tabs are going to be less interesting to you than they would be for a customer with a completely different workload split. So
Vinner, we were talking about some of the tooling, the various stuff that AWS provides, but you also talked about third party, kind of integrating it, not only with the APIs, but kind of pulling in the data within the environment and setting up all these dashboards. When you pull in from AWS into your own tool or another tool, how important is it to understand and trust the data that's being displayed?
Well, if you're making decisions off of whatever system you're looking at, be that an AWS system, a homegrown system, third party, you need to know exactly what you're looking at. And you do need to have a high level of trust, especially if you're making business decisions off of that data. What I would say in terms of kind of confirming that trust and how I've seen customers do it as well is, especially if you're building something homegrown, if you're taking cost and usage report data and joining it with something or splitting it, adding markups to it, manipulating it in any way, definitely do a lot of testing with that process. And then I would always compare the outcome or kind of the end system that you're going to be referencing to multiple tools internally or externally, if you've got kind of a couple things piping together. So that doesn't have to be like a really like exhausting, overwhelming process to do either. It can be as simple as taking a service total or taking a usage type total or a linked account total in kind of the end system that you're in, cross comparing it with Cost Explorer, making sure that those numbers are either lining up if that's your intention or kind of going through the logic pipeline that you want them to, and kind of doing those essentially like unit tests for your data to make sure that what you have is what you want to have and kind of what you're intending to look at. And I will say, I think that's becoming a little bit more common. I know a couple customers who essentially do some like custom curve blending or put some logic on top of AWS data to get to an end chargeback that has like custom handling for RIs or savings plans or commitments or kind of different business units, especially for support charges as well.
Well, Savannah, this is only supposed to be a 15-minute podcast. We got a couple more minutes, and I want to end it with this. Assume that I am new to FinOps. I am a new FinOps practitioner, but I am at an enterprise company, right? And now I'm looking at the AWS console, which I don't really use or haven't been familiar with. What's your recommended approach to gain the visibility into my AWS account and spends in order to make informed decisions around the business and the cost?
Yeah. So if you're a brand new FinOps practitioner, the first thing that I would ask at a new organization is talk to me about your account structure. Am I in the payer account right now? Is this the only payer account that we have? And do I have essentially visibility into all the spend underneath this account? From there, I would honestly just recommend starting with Cost Explorer. It's in console. It's super easy to kind of get started with. You can click around. All of kind of the filter and group by pieces that you have there are how I learned how to start interpreting cost data. It'll give you an idea of what the services are. We've got a lot of good tutorials for how to use it or how to achieve certain things with it on YouTube, uploaded through different event platforms, on Workshop Studio, through the Well Architected Lab. So there's tons of resources. And I think it's like sized in a way where it's not too overwhelming. And I think if you spend a little bit of time kind of sorting through what this cost data looks like, getting an understanding of like what your organization's footprint looks like specifically, you can dive into those more granular data sources like the CID, anything CUR related, without getting too overwhelmed, because you kind of already have that baseline of what it looks like in that kind of very user-friendly entry-level picture in Cost Explorer. So that'd be my recommendation. That's what I did. Maybe I'm biased, but I think it worked out well. So
I agree with you, kind of understanding things, poke around, take some visualizations. You obviously don't make any changes. Look around, make sure that you understand the structure, what are the services that are being utilized, how the environment's set up. Maybe you're not in the main account. Maybe there's other ones. There's different groups that haven't been rolled up underneath the main payer account. It's really having an understanding, and just click around within the console to see your visualization, you know, the Cost Explorer, look at the billing dashboard, where are your services, everything kind of is overwhelming kind of a little bit at first, but once you kind of break it down, I think you'll have a better understanding before you can recommend or implement any changes.
And one thing I'll say too, is if you're kind of nervous being in a payer account for the first time, especially if you're new to an organization, you can work with a admin and see if they can give you essentially like two IAM roles, one that's read only with billing permissions and one that's actually got the purchase permissions. Presumably, yep. If you're working in FinOps, you're eventually going to have to do some sort of RI or savings plan purchase within an account. So likely you will need those write permissions at some point. But if you have an IAM user that's essentially only read only, you don't have to be nervous about essentially clicking the wrong button, and you can kind of browse around to your heart's content without any worry.
And AWS is always releasing some cool new features like the 7-day return policy for savings plans.
Yes.
Automated.
Oh, so excited about that one.
It's like buyer's remorse. You click, oh my God, I didn't mean to do that one. I learned some cool things from a friend of ours, Rick, who actually showcased and talked about the 7-day return policy. Savannah, thank you so much for joining me for this podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Jonathan.
Well, everybody, that wraps up the FinOps Nexus podcast in true John Meyer fashion. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, and notify, because guess what? We're out of here.